Hi, I'm Eric Dalma, pastor at Gospel of Grace Fellowship, and I'm in studio along with Gospel of Grace's theologian and teacher, Bob DeWay. We both want to welcome you here to Critical Issues Commentary Radio, where we dig into the great doctrines of the faith revealed verse by verse through the scriptures, and where we teach you how to contend for the faith once for all handed down to the saints. As always, Bob, it's fun to be with you here talking about this great salvation that we have in Jesus Christ, and as we're going to be looking into our sonship.
Yeah, we are still in Galatians, and what a beautiful section. The promises of God are in such stark contrast to our previous estate. And we're going to do verse 5 at least, and probably more.
Right.
So I'll read that from the New American Standard.
Yeah.
Okay. So that he might redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. Before we started recording, you and I were talking about this a little bit.
Right.
There's certain irony here as I see the big picture. Galatians 4:3 was about the stoicheia, the hostile powers, and then when we did radio about that, I did a walkthrough.
Yeah.
Remember how we went through the Old Testament in,
right,
in Deuteronomy 32 in particular? Israel is supposed to be God's son.
Right.
And Yahweh would rule over them.
Right, yet they wanted to be back under the stoicheia.
Yeah, but they rebelled and they end up thrown under the host of heaven, just like various Gentiles.
Yeah.
But Exodus 4:22 says that Israel was called to be God's son.
Amen.
All right. And in history, they rejected that role.
Yeah.
And went instead for idolatry.
Right.
So here's the irony here. Being under the law simply meant they were in bondage to the stoicheia.
That's right.
And to be have sonship wasn't just to be circumcised.
Right.
Or to keep the Jewish Sabbath or the food laws. That was insufficient. That would leave you under the curse.
Right.
But to have adoption was to be redeemed out of the marketplace, that he might redeem those who were under the law.
Yeah, now Bob, you've mentioned that term before, that ex agorazo, to be,
yes,
purchased from the marketplace. And
you're in slavery, you're for sale in the marketplace, and somebody's going to buy you and put you to harsh servitude.
Right.
But God adopts you. Mm. He redeems you and makes you a son with the right of the heirs.
Wow.
And that's what this is going to. That's what's building up here.
That's beautiful.
We're blessed. We're the Lord's. We have this time where we enter into being heirs with Christ.
Right, right.
All of that by God's grace through the gospel.
Right. And what's interesting is this redemption of those who are under the law. Being under the law was this demonic means of salvation that could never work. In other words, it doesn't matter what it is, but being under the law in particular for the Jews was believing that they're somehow holding to the Mosaic covenant and obeying it perfectly would save them, when in fact they couldn't do it. Why? Because they were sinners.
Yeah.
And so the stoicheia binds people and places them under their thumb by promising them some salvation apart from Christ. That's the big,
right, and they're
plan.
Cursed according to Galatians 3 and verse 10. We've talked about that.
Right, right.
And we've also talked about Stephen's address in Acts 7.
Yeah.
Where he says that they'd been turned over to the host of heaven.
Right, right.
And they were angry because they didn't believe that.
That's right.
They thought they had better status than that.
That's right.
Now, several times as we've been going through these passages on the radio, I've mentioned this slide that I made to preach at Gospel of Grace Fellowship.
Yes.
And I pulled out the one that would have been current from where we are right now at Galatians 4. This one actually goes up through verse 8.
Yeah.
And since then, I've added two more. And what this slide does on a PowerPoint is it contrasts works and faith. And all of these ones on the works side, which are described in Galatians,
yeah,
are bad. They're, right, undesirable. It's not what you want.
Right.
Okay? And the ones on the faith side are desirable, wonderful blessings from God as far as our change of status. Paul's claim is to go back, is to not just pick and choose, but to get the whole cursed lot.
Yeah.
All of these things we're going back to, and they're all bad.
Yeah, that's right. You know, Bob, it's so interesting how it's tied to this idea of sonship. You had mentioned Exodus 4:22, where Israel was the son of God. And then you have them fail miserably. They're never the light. They don't bear fruit that God had called them to. And so God ends up bringing this Redeemer, the Messiah, from them. And he is the monogenes, as you and I often talk about, the only begotten one, which is the unique son. And so here is the one, the Messiah, coming from the many. And he's going to have to do what Israel never did. That is, he's faithful.
Yeah.
And so
William Lane talks about that, doesn't he, in his commentary on Mark?
He certainly does. And what's interesting then is you and I and all our listeners who are believers, their derived sonship and, for that matter, daughtership is because they're with Christ. And because of our faith in him, now you and I have the opportunity to become adopted sons and daughters, and that was always the plan. So the point is, the Stoicea will take anything, they'll take any doctrine it requires to try to have people believe in something apart from the sufficiency of Christ's sonship. The fact that by being with him, we're now sons and daughters of the Most High. So that's the battle plan of the Stoicea, is to say, if they can get us to buy into anything, it may be law works under the Mosaic Covenant, maybe mysticism, it may be a different religion, whatever it is, if you lose the sufficiency of the Son and being with him as your only means of being in the Father's house, that's the battle plan of the Stoicea.
Yeah, and also, is in my experience, having seen a lot of pietistic interpretations of everything.
Yeah.
One of the falsehoods is a pietistic interpretation of Romans 8, where it says those who are led by the Spirit are the sons.
Right, right.
I was preaching on that Sunday, but they'll say that's a higher class Christian and that the ordinary Christians haven't achieved that status and there's some experience or revelation or insight.
Right, but that's not what Romans 8 is teaching, is it?
No, not at all. It's very bad. It's really going right back to law works.
Yeah.
Because there's something you have to do so you have, as a Christian.
Right.
Because you're not really a son of God until you start finding subjective revelations.
Right, right.
And so I have this chart.
Yeah.
And all it is taking concepts directly out of Galatians.
Right.
And looking at it for what Paul's saying.
Yep.
And I think looked at as a whole, it's startling.
It is.
It's amazing. And in fact, it would be so much so that you might wonder why anybody would want to go away from this.
Right.
But I don't think Galatians is typically very well understood. Now, on our chart, the first one I have here is justification, whether you have it or you don't. Under works you don't, with faith you do. And that came from Galatians 2:16.
Wow.
And it says here, know that no one is justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. And we have believed in Christ Jesus so that we might be justified by faith in Christ, and not by the works of the law, because by the works of the law, no human being will be justified.
Wow. Now, Bob, that law works then in that 2:16 that you just read, that's indefinite. In other words, there's no definite article there.
Yeah.
And remind the listener why that was significant.
Well, I think it's significant. Now, you could say legitimately in Galatians the issue of circumcision and things from the Mosaic law.
Right.
But not exclusively, but mostly.
Yeah.
But in Colossians, you have other kind of works that aren't really specified by the Mosaic law.
That's right.
And you have a syncretism that brings together works from Moses.
That's right.
Works from the mystery religions of Asia Minor.
Yeah.
And in this eclectic mix, you come up with a new way to battle the hostile powers and get rid of bad faith. That's but it right. doesn't work.
Yeah.
Now, the Anarthrous construction, I mean, he's without definite article.
Yeah.
I think is there for a reason. You see the same thing in Romans, and I acknowledge that the context is supreme.
That's right, yep.
That sometimes there's no definite article, but it does mean the law of Moses.
That's right, yep.
But other times it's not so clear. Other times it's more general, and it's very much like this in Romans.
Yeah.
And I'm of the opinion that law works is used, and that's why I use it when I preach this and teach it, law
yeah,
works.
I like that.
It covers everything. Yeah. It covers the law of Moses, but it's a bigger category. Someone has their own hybrid version of it.
Sure.
It's you get the same result.
That's right. That's right.
And so that's why I've consistently talked about law works.
Yeah. So a means of falling under law works would be, let's say today someone believes they can get closer to God through mysticism or through meditation or through walking a labyrinth.
Yeah, silence and solitude is so popular.
Yep, that would all be forms of law works, wouldn't they?
Yeah, that's their man-made religion.
Yeah.
Colossians deals with that.
Amen.
Okay? Of self-willed worship.
Right.
This is the way I'm going to do it.
Right, right.
And it says that these things have no value against fleshly indulgence.
Amen. Yeah.
So that never changes, by the way.
Right, right.
You can come up with these clever ideas and practices, but it has no power because it's not Christ-centered.
Amen.
They're gospel-centered.
That's right. With the Son. Amen.
Yeah, and the other thing, I was just preaching on this Sunday, what God provides through means of grace are also aspects of church life, not just some hermit sitting out in a cave.
Yes, right.
Okay.
It's accessible to all, isn't it?
Yeah, it's accessible to all, and it's something we share together, and it's multiplied as we do so.
Right, right.
It's not just an isolationist idea.
Yeah, amen.
And that is very important. So on this chart that I'm talking about, that we have to paint a verbal picture.
Right.
I have under works, now I just quoted the first one, no justification. Right?
Yes.
Galatians 2:16. And then if you go forward to Galatians 3:10, cursed. Cursed is he that doesn't abide in all of these things to do them.
Right.
Paul's reasoning is no one has this mythical human ability that so many people believe in.
Yeah.
It's impossible not to be cursed.
Right.
Because you're going to fail.
That's right.
That's Paul's argument here, and I've cited that to perfectionists. They just plug their ears. They don't want to hear it. They right. want to have their traditions of man. They don't want to listen to God.
Yeah, amen.
So, no, if you think that you can perfectly obey God, you're cursed.
That's right.
Okay, now that's contrasted with faith in Galatians 3:9. There you're blessed. Let's look that one up, Galatians 3:9. Do you want do you have your scripture?
Yeah.
While you're looking that up, I'll look at the next one we're going to do, which
sure.
is redeemed, which we were just talking about, but we can go back over it again.
Yeah.
So what's it say in Galatians 3:9?
So in Galatians 3:9, it says, so then, those who are of faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith.
Yeah, so those who believe are blessed. Those who have faith are blessed.
Yes. By promise.
And that's a theme in Galatians.
Right.
Now, my Holman Christian Standard Bible here in verse 10 says, for all who rely on the works of the law are under a curse.
Yeah.
Because it is written, everyone who does not continue doing everything written in the book of the law is cursed. Paul concludes that's everyone.
Right, right.
That's what it says.
That's what it says.
Our dear listeners, there are people believing really bad doctrine.
Yeah.
They won't listen to this. They won't accept this. They have their own ideas.
That's right.
We're showing you this all the way through the Bible.
Yeah.
If we won't listen to this, we'll just land under that curse because we think that we can work hard enough and make the right choices.
Right.
And that's all that's necessary. It will not work. You will be cursed 100% of the time.
Amen. Let me give an example of that. Not too long ago, it was probably a year ago, I had a Mormon missionary. They come to the door,
yeah,
and they distort Ephesians 2:8 through 9. Ephesians 2:8 through 9 says, "For by grace you've been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Well, they turn it into, "For by grace you've been saved after all you can do." And so here now they're distorting the word of God, but they're doing exactly what you're suggesting. They're placing themselves under the curse. And what they're doing is they're losing the Son. They have all the sufficiency they need by being in the Son, and they say, you know what, we'd rather be under the Stoichia. We'd rather be cursed.
Yeah.
That's their doctrine.
The Mormons' doctrine of the Son is not biblical anymore.
That's right. Amen. Yep. So there's this one example of a false religion that's cursed.
Right.
Yeah.
And you hear this from Christians. They follow these strange teachers that seem to be pious.
Yeah.
But it's a bunch of wickedness.
Amen.
It's not what it claims to be. It's not a work of the Holy Spirit.
Right, right.
Now, the next one we have here is imprisoned.
Mm.
Galatians 3:22 and 23. If you want to look that up.
Yeah.
And then we're going to contrast that with redeemed.
Right.
Which would be Galatians 3:13. Go ahead.
This is Galatians 3:23. It says, "Now before faith came, we were held captive under the law, imprisoned until the coming faith that would be revealed."
Okay, so we were imprisoned. Shut up in prison.
Right, right.
Without any hope.
Right.
But it says in Galatians 3:13, Christ has redeemed, there's that exagorazo.
Yes.
Redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us, because it is written, "Everyone who is hung on a tree is cursed." Mm-hmm. It's interesting. I got an email the other day, somebody rebuking me.
Yeah.
And it was because of my articles claiming that Christians are blessed.
Well, how dare you?
Well, I criticized a couple of teachers, Derek Prince and Neil T. Anderson, who teach that Christians are cursed by generational curses, or and they have to have a curse breaker to figure out what it is.
Well, how sad.
And it goes back so many generations that you don't even know all your ancestors.
Sure, right.
And that's assuming there were no deaths and remarriage or whatever.
Right.
And this person would rather believe she's cursed than to believe that Derek Prince and Neil Anderson are not nice people, which wasn't even the point. Okay?
Oh, that's so sad.
So I finally emailed back and said, "Christians are blessed and not cursed. You don't need a shaman." I don't care how sincere these guys are. They're making themselves out to be shamans.
That's right.
Well, Prince is no longer on the scene of history, but we don't need shamans.
Right.
It doesn't say here that Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, becoming a curse for us, so that we would come to the conclusion, unless we had an ancestor who owned a Ouija board.
Right, right. That's not, there's no
fine
print.
It doesn't say that.
Right, right.
And so these false teachers,
yes.
Marilyn Hickey's another one I wrote about. I don't know if she's still active, but this, a lot of these things I wrote about back in the 90s.
Yeah.
Listen.
That's right.
Why do you want to be cursed? You can't stand the idea that Jesus became a curse for you, that you might receive the blessing of Abraham?
Exactly.
That's what it says. I think I know. I was thinking about after that little interchange. I think I know why people are attracted to that.
Yeah.
And it's common in also in the Word of Faith camp. That's where Hickey was teaching it. They have things in their lives. I'm just guessing here.
Right.
But I've been in ministry for over 40 years, and I talk to a lot of people.
Yeah.
There's things they don't like. They may have physical maladies, or maybe family problems, or kids that don't want to serve God, or whatever.
Sure.
they lost a job. And so to convince somebody that things aren't exactly right isn't hard.
Right, right.
Well, see, the idea is I can find somebody who can get these revelations out of the cosmos out here and break the curse. Things will get better in my life.
Right.
What I'm saying is that they're in Christ by faith. They are blessed.
Amen.
Christ bore the curse.
That's right.
And it's not about symptoms.
That's right. That's right.
Okay, my car runs out of gas or breaks a serpentine belt or some bad thing happens.
Right.
Oh, man, if I would just have the curses broke, all these things wouldn't happen.
Right.
So they're like the Colossian heresy teachers.
Yeah.
They want to manipulate the cosmos.
That's right.
Using shamans, calling themselves deliverance counselors. Because they don't want to believe this, and if they did believe it, they'd say, I'm blessed in Christ and my life looks like this.
Right.
I think that's what's going on.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, I think you're right. It's absurd to think, I don't want to be blessed, I'd rather be cursed.
That's right, yeah. You know, too, you see in American culture, so much of the, we think, well, in Colossians, you know, the time that was written, certainly people were into all these different forms of looking to pagan sources, etc. But you see it in America today. You go on an elevator, why doesn't the floor go to 13? It goes from
somebody's
12 to
fear.
Pagan. Somebody's fear, exactly.
It is pagan superstition.
Superstition,
well,
right.
Well, if you look at, one of the books I quoted from was this Neil T. Anderson.
Yeah.
He has list after list of what I call incantations.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
And checklists.
Right.
And you have to say these things as if the spirit world were manipulated by our words.
Yeah, right.
And so we're trying to go through all of this.
Yeah.
And I don't write about these things just because I want to be a mean person to some guy. Helping a false teacher repent is not mean.
Right, right.
Okay?
Right.
That's because his influence harms the church.
Now, Bob, with that, there's two different worldviews. Greg Boyd, for instance, would hold to the spiritual warfare.
Yeah, the warfare worldview.
Well, the other worldview would be the biblical one in which God is sovereign.
Providential.
Amen.
But see, that bugs people.
Yeah.
Because then evil still exists. Life is full of difficulties.
Right.
And we don't like that.
Right. They won't accept it.
We want something different.
Yeah.
And what I'm seeing is that what God said to Paul concerning his thorn in the flesh, which was a messenger or angel from Satan, literally in the Greek, my grace is sufficient for you. They don't want to hear that.
Right.
No, I don't want this thing. I don't want any of these problems. And they gravitate to these heretical churches that teach the word of faith doctrine.
Yeah.
Or these hyper-charismatic groups like this Bill Johnson out in Redding, California.
Yeah.
Because they think there might be an answer.
Right.
But in reality, they go through the same difficulties as the rest of us.
Right.
They still have problems. They still lose jobs.
Yeah.
They still have kids that don't want to do what they're supposed to do.
The death rate's still one per person.
Yeah, and they still get sick.
Yeah.
They still have difficulties trying to have a good marriage.
Yeah.
Just like all of us.
Right.
Only the difference is now they get guilt heaped on top of it and fear heaped on top of it.
Wow.
And they're back under this list. No justification, cursed, imprisoned, under guard, under custody, slave status, under guardians, under stewards, under the stoichia, and enslaved to idols. That's my whole list of works.
Boy, that's a bad...
Well, better to have that than to think I can trust God in the midst of what I do have and know that I'm blessed.
Right.
That's why this is here. You have to tell people this because the false teachers are trying to pull the rug out from under them.
That's right.
And the false teachers can portray themselves as being above it all.
Right. Amen.
Because all I got to do is show up at the microphone, spiffed up in a nice expensive suit.
Right.
And, oh, well, they don't have it bad. Maybe they have an answer for me.
Right. That's right. You know, Bob, it reminds me of our discussion about decisive purgation. In Christ, we have a once-and-for-all atonement, and therefore we are blessed eternally.
Yeah.
And there's nothing that can change that. Ironically, when somebody says, well, look, I need to add to that, they're really denying the person and the work of Christ. Why? Yeah. Because he gave us decisive purgation once and for all. What are they saying? It's not sufficient. It's not good
you
enough.
You have to go back and find out what was going on with these ancestors from the...
Yeah.
Well, the Bible teaches it, and you go back to that.
Right.
Under the old covenant. Well, yeah, beside that, how about the whole covenant?
Exactly.
The whole old covenant, according to Galatians, you're cursed if you're under it.
Right, amen.
Because if you don't perfectly obey every law, you're under a curse.
Right.
Paul proved it from Scripture. Do we rather throw the Bible out the window so we can listen to the false teachers?
Right. Isn't that sad?
It's really sad.
Yeah.
And so I gave the list here. We don't have time to go through every last one, but I gave you a good idea.
Yeah.
Under guard, under custody, slaves, under guardians, under stewards, under the stoichia, enslaved to idols. Now, the other side, there's 10. We've gone through some of them. Justified, blessed, redeemed, having received the Spirit, part of the family of God, brothers and sisters in Christ. We believe the promise of God.
Mm-hmm.
We've been released from prison. We have new status in Christ.
Yeah.
We're not under the hostile demon and powers. And we're sons and therefore heirs of Christ.
Wow.
All right.
Wow, that sounds pretty good to me.
All right, so these things come as a package.
Right, right.
So if you want to deny that Christ bore the curse for us, well then you're back, then you got all of this. You don't just have the curse, you have everything associated with it.
That's right, that's right. Now, Bob, I think that's really the unique thing about Galatians is that we have to help the listener see that, look, this isn't just an issue about circumcision and about keeping the Mosaic law, whether it be Sabbath keeping, etc. It's any form of you adding to the work of Christ, either for your justification or for your sanctification.
Oh, yeah, because it says in Galatians, are you so foolish to begin in the Spirit, you're going to be made perfect by the flesh?
That's right, amen. So anything that people would add to Christ saying he's not sufficient, they're falling under the curse. They have a different Christ. Paul warns in 2 Corinthians 11, he says, I fear that you have a different Jesus.
Uh-huh.
And a Jesus that doesn't save completely once and for all and protect us from these hostile powers, give us all things that we need until the day of redemption of our bodies, that's a different Jesus, and therefore they don't have faith. They're under the curse.
I know. They don't believe what it says, and they're not under means of grace.
Right.
So now we're back to Galatians 4 or 5.
Yes.
So that he might redeem, ex agorazo, by like a slave out of the marketplace. That was us.
Right.
Those who were under the law, that...
So we have two purpose statements, don't
yeah,
we?
Yeah, let me look up my Greek here. That we might receive the adoption as sons, and so... This is more than we could have thought was possible.
Yes, right.
Okay, let's say I'm a slave in the world that they lived in.
Right.
It was mainly an economic issue.
Right.
Okay, so I couldn't pay my bills and I couldn't do anything else.
Right.
So I find myself for sale in the marketplace.
Yeah.
And I can't hope for any status.
Right, right.
The best I could hope for is that whoever buys me would be a kind and gentle person.
Right.
So that I'd have a household where I could have my slave status and contribute.
Right.
It wasn't always a bad thing, by the way. Some slaves in a wealthy household were better off than some free people in the Roman society. I'm not comparing it at all to the horrible thing that happened in America.
Right, right.
But we have two purpose statements, as you said.
Yeah.
And both of them begin with Hina.
Yes.
In order that, the ones under law, he might buy out.
Mm.
In order that, another purpose statement, same word in the Greek, the adoption as sons is something that we would receive, apo lambano.
Sure, we receive it, don't we?
It's something we receive. It's not something we earn or gain or achieve.
Now, there's a couple of ideas in the Scripture that are always associated with adoption. And one of them that we see is the idea of election. For instance, in Ephesians 1:5, Paul says that he predestined us for adoptions as sons as sons through Jesus Christ.
Amen.
According to the purpose of his will. So it's his will doing that. Now, you had written a wonderful paper about Ephesians and why this doctrine of election was so significant in the day.
Yeah, because it comforted them that their destiny wasn't determined by the demons.
That's beautiful, isn't it?
But see, dear Christians, I know you're listening to this. You might not be one of the people that I get emails from, but please listen. Why are so many Christians angry about the scripture?
Right.
They do not like what it says.
That's right.
And so a predestined, which you just quoted.
Yeah.
Boy, they're mad.
Yeah, I just got one last night.
Yeah, they're so angry. Well,
yep.
Okay. Do you really think Eric and I can inspire our own Bible that doesn't have that concept in it? Okay.
Right.
And then what you were just saying is true. The point of it is to assure us that we're safe in God's hands.
Absolutely.
No, it's not fair. I don't like it. It makes people mad. So they have more confidence,
yes,
if everything's in their own hands, mm, than they do in the finished work of Christ through the gospel.
Oh, wow.
That's an affront to God.
It is. It is. It's the opposite of grace.
I didn't make this up. It's not that hard to understand.
Right.
I debated Greg Boyd in a big public debate in front of a lot of people on this topic.
Right, right.
And the only thing I had going for me was the scripture.
No, you're right.
He had all kinds of philosophy, 2 PhDs, 14 books.
You had the truth.
But I had the scripture, and I just put it up there and explained it.
That's right. That's
this
right.
Is what it says.
Amen.
And he was using emotional arguments. Now, he's an open theist. He doesn't believe God even knows the future in,
yeah,
most cases.
Right.
And so he's telling about how wicked and evil this whole idea is that God elected, or that, you know, he rails against Romans 8:28.
Wow.
Wouldn't you get a little bit of reason to pause if you see the scriptures as your enemy?
Yeah. Good point. Yeah, you know, that's really scary, isn't it?
Yeah,
when the word of God is your enemy.
We make this up.
Right, right.
If you have a strong negative emotional reaction when you're reading Ephesians and it means predestination,
yeah,
look at your own self and start wondering, why is it that I'm so angry I refuse to believe the Bible?
Yeah, amen. Yep.
Okay, and I'm telling you why it's there.
Yeah.
From the context, the best I can understand, and I think it's a good reading.
Yeah.
To reassure us that bad fate is not going to shoot down God's plan and purpose for us.
Amen.
It's an eternal purpose. Yeah, and I wrote an article about this.
That's right.
That's what it's about.
Well, we're secure. We
yeah,
can
this
secure
isn't just some idea out of church history that we're going to fall on a sword over.
That's right.
This is what the scripture says.
Yeah, amen.
All right, so be angry. You'd rather be cursed. You'd rather have your destiny in your own hands. You,
yeah,
don't want to be safe in a stoichia. You want to go to a seminar and learn how to rebuke the demons over the city. And
right now, it's so sad.
This isn't a Christian worldview, our dear listeners.
Right.
Thinking like that is not how the Bible portrays God's relationship to his own people.
That's right.
Okay. Now, we're just showing you this out of Galatians. We could do Colossians, could do Ephesians, which we've referenced.
Right.
They're all saying the same thing, and they're all written to people in Asia Minor.
That's right.
And they were notorious for believing they were under powers and evil spirits that were going to cause them to have bad fate.
Amen. You know, there's another element, too, that's associated often in Scripture with our adoption, not just the fact that we've been predestined, but what the result of having sonship and this being purchased out as former slaves and now sons and daughters.
Amen.
Is the idea that we've been purchased for a resurrected body. That's the great hope. And Paul talks about that in Romans 8:23 when he says, and not only creation groans, he says, but also ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for adoption as sons. And in particular, he says, the redemption of our bodies. So in other words, when we come to faith,
wow,
in Jesus Christ, we're automatically adopted sons and daughters. But what he's saying is the ultimate result of that is this great blessing in a resurrected body. Our Father loves us so that he doesn't leave us in some ethereal state. He loves us as sons and daughters, and he makes us whole. We're going to have new bodies reigning with him forever in his glory.
This is what it says in the Bible.
Yeah.
To me, it's comforting to believe what the Bible says, because I know I can really mess things up.
Oh, yeah, I have too.
But God right? is so gracious. He bought us out of this marketplace of sin.
Amen.
And curse and bondage, not to make us better aliens to live under his roof.
Right.
But that we might receive, according to Galatians 4 or 5, that we might receive the adoption as sons.
Mm, wow.
So adoption into the family of God means having the full benefits of sonship, regardless of where you came from.
Yeah.
So it's not where we came from.
Yeah.
It's our relationship to God in Christ.
Wow.
And I'm going to keep preaching this, and people were going to be mad. Well, I don't know why they tune into us at all if they want to just hear human wisdom and they don't want to hear Scripture. So all we do is talk about Scripture.
Amen.
And if somebody's going to convince me the Bible doesn't mean what it obviously says,
yeah,
I will not listen to them.
Yeah. Let me leave the listener with this. Some weeks ago, I asked you about your dad. I've heard you talk numerous times about him, and your dad was one of your favorite people in your life. And let me just ask you, Bob, just real quickly, what was it like being a son who belonged to your dad? What were some of the benefits that you had?
Well, in my case, I was uniquely blessed to have a dad who was also my best friend.
Wow.
This time of the year, I think about it, it's been 13 years now since he's been gone.
Yeah.
This time of the year, every year for 20 years in a row, we went to South Dakota to fish walleyes under this one dam.
Wow.
And all the way there and all the way back, we never ran out of things to talk about.
Yeah.
And I never got tired of hearing stories about the Great Depression.
Wow.
What farming was like, him being in the Navy in World War II.
Wow.
You know, earlier parts of our lives from the 50s there. And it was just fabulous.
It is, yeah.
And I talked to my mom on the phone, you know, every couple of weeks, and I tell her I still miss Dad.
Yeah, yep.
And it's been 13 years.
That's right.
And so I'm blessed. Not everybody has that kind of memory. Some
That's
people
right.
Have brutish parents that mistreat everybody around.
But, that's right, that's right.
I'm not claiming special status because I'm just blessed.
Right.
But how much better, anything we can imagine about a good family relationship on this world
yeah.
pales in comparison to being adopted into the family of God.
Amen. Yeah, what a fitting way to, I think, leave off, just have people to think about that.
Yeah, let's really get back to the gospel,
yes.
the means of grace, and what it does say in the Bible. And I would just challenge our listeners, lay aside, if you get this emotional bubbling up, I don't like this, I don't like, and it's right there in the Bible.
Yeah.
You pretty well assume you're not understanding it, because God doesn't put things in the Bible to make us mad.
That's right, that's right.
He does so to encourage us, and that's what I'm trying to show here out of Galatians.
Well said, Bob. Thank you so much. Well, we're out of time for this edition of Critical Issues Commentary Radio. We both want to remind you that you can access this program at our website at cicministry.org. It was a pleasure discussing these passages with you again, Bob, and I look forward to doing it next week.
Yeah, I love doing this.
That's great. Well, we want to remind you to stand firm in one spirit with one mind and strive together for the faith of the gospel.
Amen.